It's time now for Tiger Talk Overtime.
We should embrace playing the gold standard of this conference right now. You should welcome that. You should want that. You should want that experience. It should burn within you to say, I want that opportunity.
Nobody's split. Give the ball up and over and in. I believe. Touchdown. Touchdown, Auburn. Well, that was sure second effort by Bo Jackson. He just got hit behind the line of scrimmage. Everybody knew what was coming. Alabama knew what was coming. Bo Jackson just on sure effort got it in.
Out of shotgun, Patrick Nix. Alabama bringing everybody. Nix is going to float one for Sanders. Sanders, oh, he caught it with the boot, and he dived in. Touchdown, Auburn! Touchdown, Auburn! Oh, my goodness!
Carnell Williams at the tailback. They'll hand it off to Williams up the middle. 25, cuts it inside. 30, 35, 40. There goes Cadillac. To the 50, to the 40, to the 30, to the 20, to the 15, 10. Go crazy, Cadillac! Go crazy! Touchdown!
Road, home, dirt, grass, it don't matter. Just give us that opportunity. That's the fire that is within us.
First down and 10, just inside of midfield. Here's Cam on the fake, right up the middle, breaks a tackle at the 40, stays on his feet, 35, 30, 25, 20. Peterson, the one man to beat at the 5. He is in! That smile, Cam. Waits for the snap into place. There it is. The kick is up. The kick is good. Auburn wins. 22-19.
Tiger Talk Overtime is presented by Will2, number one in quality and safe work for industry. To be a part of the show, join us on the Morgan Bradley Alpha Insurance Tiger Line. Send us a message on WarEagleTV.com, on our X page, at TV_WarEagle. Now, the host of Tiger Talk Overtime, Doug Holton.
All right, welcome in, everybody. As we get you ready for the Ball State game this weekend, welcome in to Tiger Talk Overtime. And if you're watching on War Eagle TV as well, it's going to be an exciting ball game this weekend. The Tigers with a big win over Baylor last Friday night on the road in Waco. Some good things in that ball game, some bad things in the ball game, but overall, an outstanding first victory for the Auburn Tigers. And again, a 6:30 ball game coming up this weekend at Jordan-Hare Stadium, the first home game of the year. Want to welcome into the show quickly my good friend Kevin Fichtner on the Plains. And Kevin, we are looking forward to the ball game this weekend and seeing how the Tigers can improve. It's going to be tough because the next 2 weeks, Ball State and South Alabama, I don't want to say anything to jinx us like TCU had on Monday night against North Carolina, but it should be pretty easy sailing for the Tigers against Ball State and South Alabama. So what are you looking for? How can we tell in the next couple of weeks if we get any better? And obviously we have a chance to rest a couple of people that got hurt as well.
Yeah, that's right, Doug. Happy to be here, War Eagle. And yeah, first home game of the season, a night game, which will be great for the fans. No one will be passing out for a day game in the 90-degree heat. Should be a good breeze Saturday night. Anytime you can get a night game in September, it's a good thing for Auburn. So we're looking forward to that. And yes, you are correct. These next couple weeks will be a time to maybe tighten some screws, find some things that we didn't do well against Baylor, try to get better, get some guys that are injured some rest, and then get some guys that didn't get reps at Baylor, get those guys some reps. You might see some guys on defense, maybe a running back or two that didn't get to play against Baylor that will play in these games against Ball State and hopefully South Alabama. Once again, we don't want to jinx it, but these are two games that we should win, both at home. South Alabama is actually our homecoming game, so it'll be exciting to have Meemaw in town and do the halftime show and crown Miss Auburn. So Miss Auburn homecoming. So it's going to be exciting. It's a good time. We're 1-0, unlike our friends across the state. We won our road game, so yeah. We can build off of that. And what I understand is between weeks 1, 2, and 3, especially after week 1, you really see the team kind of find out themselves. They figure things out. They learn from their mistakes and they get better. And we'll need that to happen because we got Oklahoma in 3 weeks in Norman.
Yeah, which is going to be a really key game, I think, for Auburn as far as the season this year. And like you mentioned, a lot of progress from week one to week two. I know a lot of people are talking about the passing game. They want to see Auburn throw the ball. They want to see our great receivers. And I think they're going to have a chance to do that, not only in the next couple of weeks, but hopefully in Oklahoma, Texas A&M, and on down the road, Georgia, of course, after the off week. But Jackson Arnold had a good week. He had a birthday. He got co-player of the week, as did Rashawn Pleasant on special teams. So it was a good week for those guys. And so what's your take on the defense, Kevin? Because like we said against Baylor, I think Baylor was a pretty good ball club, but 400 and what, 19 yards we gave up. A lot of people talking about that this week too.
Yeah, they did whatever they wanted to do against us. Our defense, offensively, they passed that ball. They had the one tight end slash big receiver who pretty much dominated the whole game against us. We had no answer for him. That wasn't a bright spot for Auburn. But you mentioned Jackson Arnold. Maybe he got some dude wipes for his birthday and a big package in the mail from them. But I know as fans, we all wanted us to see. Air out, air it out. Let's find our receivers. But Baylor was not giving us that. They were giving us the ground game, and that's what we did. It wasn't pretty, but when you're getting 6, 7 yards of carry, you got to keep doing that. You don't want to force passes. But the key to that game, there's two things. The Pleasant touchdown kickoff return after Baylor just scored was huge. And then there was the 3rd and 8 that in previous years, don't want to mention any other quarterbacks, but in previous years, we haven't been able to complete that 3rd and 8.
Yeah.
And we ended that drive, and that was a huge play of the game. If we don't get that first down, we punt. Baylor has the momentum, and they get who knows what could have happened because they were passing on us all over the field. So who knows if we could have stopped them. That was a huge 3rd and 8 that we got, that Jackson Arnold got, that helped Auburn, sustain a drive
Yeah.
and keep that lead. It was huge.
And that was to Horatio Fields, I think. Hopefully foreshadowing of things to come this season as far as the connection there. The top 25 we touched on briefly, the Tigers didn't quite do enough to impress the voters in the AP, which I don't know how much the AP matters, but Alabama falls to 21, a big loss, step down for Alabama this week, and LSU up to number 3, which I'm not really buying, are you? Because I didn't think Clemson looked that good in their ball game. And I don't think LSU's number 3, but Georgia's number 4, and I think Auburn probably deserves to be in there somewhere, even at this point.
Yeah, as we know, these preseason and these weekly rankings really don't matter. It's where you are at the end of the season. I know Auburn fans might be upset that we didn't make the top 25, but if we handle our business the next 2 weeks, and then if we can beat Oklahoma, we'll be in the top 25 for sure. But as far as LSU, I mean, going to Clemson, Clemson might not have played great, but LSU won their first road game to start the season with Brian Kelly in his tenure. They had lost in other parts of the country. They actually went into Clemson and they won. Nussmeier looked pretty good. I think LSU, they can be pretty good. That 3 ranking could be very foreshadowing of what their season could be because they it's hard to go win road games as we know. But they went into a Clemson and won that game and their season looking bright right now because they've been starting the last few seasons 0-1. So
Yeah.
once again for us, if we can handle our business. We'll find our way into the rankings. Maybe not if we beat Ball State or South Alabama, but if we can go into Norman in a few weeks and handle business there, Jackson Arnold's, homecoming back to him, back to them,
Yeah.
then for sure we would be ranked in the top 25. I feel
Yeah.
confident about that.
Our first segment is brought to you by Big Mike's Steakhouse. I know a place that Kevin and I frequent. And Kevin, the late game this week, so it's a great chance to go by after lunch, mid-afternoon, or before the ball game, and go to Big Mike's Steakhouse there on Shug Jordan Parkway, or if you're in South Alabama at Orange Beach. And again, two new locations coming pretty soon to Baymanette and Sims, so watch out for those. But I challenge everybody this week to go in and get the Big Mike's ribeye, the 24 hours before the game, and even if you can't eat it yourself, split it with somebody.
Yeah, it's a great time to go there because you can go before the game and not spend all that money on pretzels and popcorn and whatever you might, pizza in the stadium. Get you a good steak, get you some shrimp, get you, a sandwich before the game or some appetizers. Big Mike's, you could actually park there if you wanted to, or park close by there and walk into the stadium. It's probably a mile or so, but tickets or parking's hard to come by, so you could probably spend a few hours there, tailgate a little bit inside there. They have TVs up. You can watch the games that are going on and then walk into the stadium, in time for kickoff. But yes, get you a steak, make sure your belly's full. If you like beverages, they have good beverages there as well. The service is great, and my family will be able to we'll be hitting that up pretty soon too. We might not go Saturday, but we'll be hitting up Big Mike's for sure this fall.
Yeah, I was looking at the ahi tuna on the menu too. I haven't tried that yet, but it looks really good. And also those toppings for your steak, you need to try. If you haven't tried that, they've got the Parmesan you can put on top of your steak, like the Shugjordan strip, if you want to get that, and or even the filet mignon, like your wife likes. And the Oscar, which is really good, the crab meat, I think that's really good on top of your steak too.
I mean, they have everything. They have your shrimp, they have steaks, they once again they have seafood, they have sandwiches, their desserts are very good. They have everything. Their bread is fantastic that you get, while you wait for your food. Their salads are good. I mean, Big Mike's is a great place. They have great food, great service, great people working there.
Yeah, and a great location if you're going to the game. Right there again on Shugjordan Parkway and Wire Road. Go see them. And in South Alabama and Orange Beach, two new locations, as we mentioned, coming soon. We'll update you on those as soon as we have the information. But go by and see the great people at Big Mike's Steakhouse this weekend before the game or during the game. Kevin, always good to see you. Talk some Auburn football, and hope you enjoy the ball game this weekend. And War Eagle.
War Eagle, that is going to be a great day.
And remember, if you're looking for Auburn Tigers football, basketball, or what have you, join us all during the week at WarEagleTV.com. You can join our X page and our YouTube page right there on the website. Just hit tune in and you'll be connected to us. All right, on the way back, we'll visit with Coach Fred Riley and also Coach Brian Brinsfield, who was also a national champion at Auburn. We'll get their perspective on the weekend coming up next here on Tiger Talk Overtime.
Welcome back to Tiger Talk Overtime, presented by Will2, number one in quality and safe work for industry. To be a part of the show, join us on the Morgan Bradley Alpha Insurance Tiger Line. Send us a message on WarEagleTV.com, on our X page, at TV_WarEagle. Now, back to Doug Holton.
Okay, welcome back in. Let's continue the conversation now about the Auburn Tigers. As they get ready for game number two this weekend at Jordan-Hare Stadium, a home game, 6:30 Saturday night against Ball State. Joining us on the line now, a couple of old quarterbacks and old coaches. Coach Fred Riley is with us. Coach, great to have you with us on the show again.
Good to be here. Appreciate it.
And Brian Brinsfield is with us as well. Brian, good to see you from the great state of Tennessee once again.
Wonderful to be here. War Eagle.
I want to get you guys' thoughts, first of all, before we get into a little bit about Ball State and Auburn last week. As we were just talking a little bit during the break, it is Pat Dye reunion weekend this weekend, and Coach Freeze had a little bit to say about that on Monday at his press conference. And Brian played for Coach Dye. Fred, you coached with Coach Dye as a graduate assistant and have some great memories. We talked about your experience at Legion Field with your dad. I just wanted to get you guys' thoughts on this weekend and what it means to the Auburn people to have a weekend like that. Either one of you, take it away.
Come in there, Brian.
Well, coming in at the end of his career, I do remember the first time that I really had conversation with him one-on-one. Out on the practice field and just really being in awe. I mean, it was you see him on TV and it was a Bear Bryant God moment for me, being an Auburn fan, and then coming face to face, and boy, you didn't want to disappoint him. I think that was the biggest thing, is you didn't want to disappoint him. And then the things about him, he knew who your parents were by name. He knew your brother's name, and my brother was only in middle school, and he knew that if you had a date that weekend, he asked you about it during the middle of the week, and he just invested in you as a person. And one of my prized possessions is sitting right beside me. I can't show it to you, but it's I don't know what publication it is. It's out of probably Birmingham, but it on the top it says Lou DuPont AU Search Committee, and it's Pat Dye coming off the field. I happen to be right beside him, and he's doffing his cap coming off the field at Legion Hare, I mean at Legion Field, in 92, and I got him to sign it. Coach Dye never got my name right, and ever, and when he signed it, it says to Brain instead of Brian. It says to Brain, one of my favorite players of all time. Best wishes, Pat Dye. And I, if he would have signed it correctly, I would have been disappointed. So, but a lot of the guys are going up there this weekend, and I wish I'm going out of town, but I wish I was going to be there. It's going to be a really good time. A lot of reminiscing, and just what a great, great man.
And were you there behind him in the press conference
I wasn't in the press conference,
after
but
the
I'm
game?
walking off the field, and I'm in the shot.
You had a marker with you,
Well, I took him on his book signing about 6 or 8 months later. I took this to him in Mobile.
I got you. I got you. Coach, I guess it's hard to beat that moment with you and your dad at Legion Field, right?
I mean, I had another one with him, years later, like 2000, like February, March 2006. We had just had a great year at Davidson and won 12 games and first undefeated team in school history and regular season. So I get to speak at the coach's clinic. And so we finish up and Susan's with me, and we go over to the stadium to watch scrimmage. And we're down on the field, we're sort of in the end zone and watching start to work out, and you hear a ruckus at the tunnel, and it's Coach Dye coming in. And folks wanting to talk to him, and so I asked Susan, would she like to meet him? She said, oh, absolutely. And so I go down to him, and he's got all these people around him. Finally, I'm able to get to him and say, Coach Dye, I don't know if you remember, but I'm Fred Riley. And he's, oh, I know who the hell you are, Fred. And well, I appreciate that, Coach. I said, I'd like for you to meet Susan, if you don't mind. And I'll have it out in a minute. He's Coach Dye. He's got his hat pulled down. He's got his hair's a little too long. He's got tobacco cup spitting in it. I mean, he ain't changed a bit, And so he comes down there a few minutes later, and we introduce him, and he says, I was married to a Susan one time, and then I retired and started spending a lot of time at home, and she decided she didn't like me too much. So and just laughed, but it was, great to visit with Pat Dye on Pat Dye Field. Was pretty cool, and get to see him all those years later and talk a little bit. So he was a fine man, no question.
One of the things I'll never forget is on away games is, we used to Clay Helton was my travel partner for 2 years, and Coach Dye would come in. They would pass out, you got two Big Macs, two Snicker bars, and two things of milk. I don't know why milk with hamburgers and Snicker bars, but that's what they gave us. And they come by your hotel, your bedroom, and tuck you in. And Coach Dye would come in, and he'd sit on the bed for a minute and talk to you. And that was a special thing. But looking at this picture, he was only 52 years old when he retired, and to me, it seemed like he was much older. But he what? I'm 52, and I think, gosh, he was only my age, but there were so many special moments. I remember when he retired, when he came in and told us that he was not gonna coach anymore, in Birmingham. And Randy Hart threw a chair. We were in the, I guess, the Sheridan in Birmingham, and he threw a chair and stuck in the wall, a leg stuck in the wall. I had a good piece of roast beef on my fork, and I just, when Coach Dye came in, you stopped And I put that piece of roast beef down, and we knew that something was weird because he wasn't a walkthrough that day. And he came in, and boy, he started bawling, crying, and said, "I'm done."
Yeah.
And you could have heard a pin drop.
Yeah. And you always, I always wonder, and I know a lot of Auburn people wonder, how long could he have gone? You know, the way things were rolling from 86 to 89, and they had won four Iron Bowls in a row. And I always think back to, you know, the first one in 82. Fred, you were there for that one, right?
Right.
And then in 83, Auburn wins again. And I always think, well, what if, you know, things go differently on the goal line down there in 84, and Auburn scores a touchdown. And what if Van Tiffin maybe hooks that field goal from 52 yards in 85? We would have won eight games in a row, similar to what Alabama did in the 70s.
Yeah.
So,
and you know, one thing that I regret, and a lot of my team regrets, is that we didn't get his 100th win.
Yeah.
You know, he ended at 99 at Auburn.
Yeah.
And
I remember that. Look,
I wish we
Georgia players laying on the ground down there at the goal line.
Yeah.
But it was very, very intimidating. You always remember also as a student going into the press conference at Sewell Hall, where they used to have the press conference in the back of the dorm there in the little room. And you know, when Coach Dye walked in, like you said, Brian, I mean, you could hear a pin drop, and it was very – very intimidating, especially for somebody who's a student at Auburn. But anyway, it should be a special weekend for a lot of guys. I know you guys, having known him a little bit. Let's talk about the current Auburn Tigers just a little bit. A win over Baylor last week. I don't know how much of the game you guys got to see, but Jackson Arnold seemed to be the theme of the night and the theme of the beginning of this week with co-offensive player of the week. He also had a birthday earlier in the week. But, Brian, what did you think of the offensive performance? And obviously a little bit of letdown on the defensive performance with 400 yards from Baylor through the air. And what do we need to do? What can you do in a game like Ball State this weekend?
Yeah, I'll start with the offense, I guess. You know, I would have liked to seen us throw the ball more, but if we got to win with his feet, we got to win with his feet. I don't know that we can sustain that through 12 games through an SEC schedule. So that's my only concern, is I don't know if he can be our top producer, offensive producer, for 12 games, especially in the SEC. That's a concern of mine. And then, you know, we've got these receivers that are just so talented, and
got their tongue hanging out there.
Yeah, I watched a lot of football this week, and I'd love to see them get the ball and see what they can do out in the space against some guys. And to do that, we got to throw the ball. So, Coach, I'll go to you to the offense, and then maybe we'll come back to the defense.
Yeah, you know, they look like a Hugh Freeze, quote, Gus Malzahn offense for the first time in a long time. You know, it don't matter if, you know, those type of offenses, you know, it doesn't matter, box count don't matter, because you got an extra runner with a quarterback. And all of a sudden, whether they stay too high, whatever they do, you know, they roll down in there to one high, or they play cover zero, you could still get a hat on a hat. And the quarterback with one guy to beat, worst case scenario, if they can't, that guy can't tackle him, they got a problem. Baylor stayed too high a bunch in the game. They basically said, run the ball.
Right.
And they did. And of course, one of his runs, his touchdown runs, was a bring the ball down in a pass situation, where it really wasn't a scramble, but it was tuck it and go when he realized everybody was running in man coverage.
But I think they were in cover zero, or either one man or man free right there, weren't they?
But they were chasing people.
That's
they were
right.
Running away from the guy that had the
That's
ball.
Right. That's right.
And, you know, and he makes a really good play right there. I thought it was the most comfortable Coach Freeze has looked since he's been there calling plays.
Yeah.
Run something to set something else up. You know, hey, all those things clicked. You know, it was just I was very happy as I watched the game and watched it unfold as they – just, you know, looked like they were running their system. And finally, I found a guy that can run their system. Now, to what you said about beating up the quarterback, any quarterback, I get that too. You know, you win the next two games with as minimal quarterback runs as possible. Yeah. I mean, you get through the next two games with, you know, you establish running backs, you establish wideouts. You do not get him hit very often. And then when you go to Oklahoma, you know, what if he has to carry it 20 times? He carries it 20 times. You do what you have to do to win that football game. And, but the next 2 weeks, I think, offensively, are to do the things exactly what you talked about, Brian. Get the wideouts more involved. Get more carries for the running backs.
And we'll be back to listen in more to Coach Fred Riley and Bryant Bransfield, former Auburn Tiger, when we come back in just a few minutes. You're listening to Tiger Talk Overtime. The Horizon Financial Halftime Report is coming next.
Welcome back to Tiger Talk Overtime, presented by Will2, number one in quality and safe work for industry. To be a part of the show, join us on the Morgan Bradley Alpha Insurance Tiger Line. Send us a message on WarEagleTV.com, on our X page, at TV_WarEagle. Now, back to Doug Holton.
All right, welcome back, everyone. It's time now for the Horizon Financial Halftime Report, which is brought to you by our good friend Henry Hardy, Coach Henry Hardy, and Horizon Financial. Come with us and experience the Horizon difference. If you need some financial help, give them a call today, Coach Henry Hardy and Horizon Financial. All right, time to get back now to our conversation with 1993 national champion Bryant Bransfield and also Coach Fred Riley, who was a graduate assistant on that 1982 team under Coach Pat Dye.
I thought Auburn was on the brink of a blowout, you know, blowing Baylor out of the game a couple of times, getting to the defensive side of things. Of course, the 4th and 9 let Baylor back in the ball game in the first half on a busted coverage, I think by the safety. You guys tell me if I'm wrong. And then beginning of the second half, we go down the field and scored. And Brian, to your point, I think, it looked to me like Baylor was gassed, even on the first series of the second half, their defensive front and maybe defensive front 7. And then we let them back in the game after that. So plenty of opportunities and a lot of opportunities this week, I'm sure, with Coach Durkin and the staff to tighten up the defensive backfield, linebackers, and what have you.
Yeah, we're going to have to tighten up the defense. I mean, giving up 500-something or 400, close to 450 yards passing just can't happen. Now, it's not going to happen against Ball State. He's a running quarterback. I think he's almost he's going to probably break their single-season record for touchdowns scored on the ground at Ball State, this quarterback is. So he's a runner. They run the spread. It's basically our offense. I just don't think they have the Jimmys and Joes to go up against us. And if, you know, Purdue shut them out, we'll have a good day Saturday. Like Coach said, it's what do we want to put on tape to let Oklahoma see in the next two ball games. So.
Yep.
And other than giving up big plays defensively, I thought we did some good things. I mean, there was the one thing, and when we talked about last week about what you have to do to win this game, you know, and the things that I talked about that we need to do to win the game, controlling big plays on defense was one of them. And that was the one element that we didn't – you couldn't check that box.
Yeah,
right. And especially as you said, the 4th and 9 jumps out at you because we everybody's playing man coverage except one guy.
Yeah.
And he's dropping in zone, and his guy's racing down up the hash. You know,
straight seam.
When you play all those oars like we talked about last week, you're going to have a little of that. And we played a bunch of people, and a bunch of bodies were rolling through there. And every now and then, you're going to have a oops. Yeah. And when you've got that many guys out there, and all the communication that goes on. So but otherwise, everything else, special teams were perfect. Run a kickback for a touchdown. We make every kick that we're supposed to make. Kicking, how important is having the ability to kick the ball out of the back of the end zone on kickoff?
Yeah.
It was definitely 7 points worth because they didn't.
That's right.
You know, and having a guy that can do that, whether you know every time, you know, that the ball's coming out to the 25-yard line.
Yeah.
It's significant.
My only question on special teams was –
I think Ray Sean was in there before on the kickoff and he fair caught it. So what were they thinking then?
I got a kick out of the other kid racing right along beside him, signaling a touchdown about 30 yards. I was scared he was going to get knocked into him and knock him down.
Listen, to this day when
Chris
I watch
Davis.
This day when I watch Chris Davis, to this day, I think the guy running beside him is going to trip him about the 10-yard line. He's going to just get his feet tangled up. Our long snapper had trouble. He had two in the dirt and then got a kick. Kick catch interference.
Yeah.
So he struggled a little bit.
Yeah.
I did enjoy the butt chewing that he took after the
That's
kick
exactly
catch interference
right.
also on national television. That's always good to see him get after him a little bit.
That's good. Right. You need that.
Well, I don't know about you guys, but I'm getting to the point. I don't want to overlook these next two games, but I'm getting to the point where I'm starting to think the Oklahoma game is very key to our season. And I think I might have mentioned that last week, but Jackson going back home to Oklahoma, he's going to be fired up. They're going to be fired up. It's going to be an SEC, big SEC game. And if Auburn wins that game, they go into the Georgia game with an off week with at least, I mean, only one loss at the most. So maybe no losses. So I just think that's a huge momentum game for Auburn. And the point I was getting to, Oklahoma and Michigan coming up this weekend is going to be fun to watch.
No doubt. No, that's exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah. It is going to be a good game to watch this weekend. And that is going to be a pivotal game, but right before the Georgia game. And hopefully we will be 4-0 going into Georgia. I think that'll give us some great momentum going into that game. But it's going to be tough in Norman. I mean, have we ever played in Norman, Oklahoma?
Not that I remember. We played at Nebraska, I think, in 81.
Yeah, that's right. Nebraska in 81, sure.
Yeah, yeah, but I don't think Oklahoma. I'm not sure about that. But
new experience. It'll be fun.
Yeah. And anyway, well, we got another game in there, too, A&M after Oklahoma.
Oh, that's right.
So we'd have to knock them off or whatever to be 5-0. I want to take a minute to tell you about Henry Hardy and Horizon Financial, a company built on knowledge, personal service, and integrity. Henry Hardy has over 32 years in financial services. Henry Hardy is a SmartVestor Pro utilizing Dave Ramsey's investing principles, and that tells me a lot. If you're looking for wealth management, retirement planning, call Henry Hardy and Horizon Financial, 251-625-2220, located across from the Eastern Shore Center at 1 Timber Way, Suite 100 in Daphne, Alabama. Securities and investment advisory services offered through Sage Point Financial Incorporated, SPF, member FINRA, SIPC. Working with an advisor who subscribes to the SmartVestor Pro Network cannot guarantee investment success or that financial goals will be achieved. Advisors pay a fee to belong to the SmartVestor Pro program. Dave Ramsey and the Dave Ramsey SmartVestor Pro program are not affiliated with Sage Point Financial Incorporated and are not sponsored or endorsed by Sage Point Financial Incorporated. All right, back on the Horizon Financial Halftime Report with Brian Brinsfield and Coach Fred Riley. And guys, any final thoughts before we close this session out and move on to Ball State Saturday night?
I'll just say it's interesting time on the plains. It's also an interesting time on the other side of the state.
Yeah.
And not to get in too deep, but it'll be interesting to see what happens throughout the season over there.
Yeah.
That's Fred, all I'll say.
Fred had a chance to see that up close and personal, right?
Yeah, I did. And it was, I mean, Gus got him. He just got him. I mean, you know, it was like, I almost wondered if they had their signals. I mean, cause it was, he calls a play action pass wheel route when they've got a corner blitz coming and the only way they can cover is the inside linebacker running with that guy. That guy don't have a chance.
Yeah,
you know, he catches them in one high safety with the matchup that he wants and throws a touchdown pass over the top of it. This was uncanny how their big plays occurred. If the defense Alabama was in was the only way that big play was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And then he just, you know, they outplayed them. I mean, they played a little harder. They were better. They played harder up front on both sides of the ball. But even at that, it's 24-17 in the fourth quarter. When Alabama closes it to 24-17, you could feel 80,000 people pucker.
Yeah.
because it's like we went 2-10 last year.
Here we go.
Here we go again. They're going, we're going to play them great, and they're going to beat us 27-24. They're going to beat us in overtime or whatever. And Alabama gets an unsportsmanlike conduct penalty for standing over a guy after a play and gives them an automatic first down, and they take it into the score.
Yeah. Wow.
It was just, you know, just don't do that, you know?
Yeah. It was effort to me. It was
uncalled for.
It was effort to me. And it was unlike Alabama football that we've seen in the past 15 years. You know, guys jogging, guys taking plays off, guys doing stupid stuff. And just you hadn't seen it in the last couple of 15 years.
And the couple of thoughts I had watching that game were Florida State's talent level looked to me to be really outstanding. Like they had some talented football players. How are they not in the top 25 to start the season? I guess the portal has an influence on that. It's hard to tell how good somebody's going to be at the beginning of the season. And the second thought I had was watching their quarterback, Castellanos. Is that his name?
Yeah.
I had the same thought as I had in 2010 when I saw Cam, maybe, I don't know, 3-4 games in the season. Like I thought, that guy's pretty good, and this team might win the national championship.
I watched him drum FSU last year when he was at Boston College, and I watched 3 games when he was at Boston College last year, and he was very, very good.
Yeah,
very good quarterback.
Gotcha. Well, guys, go ahead.
Florida State game experience is really good. They do some really cool stuff. Tribute to their national championship teams on the Jumbotron. Tribute to the Seminole Nation during timeouts. A tribute to Burt Reynolds with Smokey and the Bandit music going and clips from him playing. But the interesting thing was they celebrate everything in their history, their national championships, everything that they've accomplished. And Jimbo Fisher is never mentioned.
Wow.
There's never a picture of him. There's not a shot. And when they celebrate that team, they show James Winston, they show everybody, but it's like his name is the thou said so not be spoken kind of deal in Tallahassee.
He's the Terry Bowden of Florida State.
I was going to say, it's kind of like the guy he coached for at Auburn or coached under at Auburn.
At Auburn.
Anyhow. Anyway, it's going to be fun this weekend, guys, and hopefully a couple of big wins for Auburn as we head toward that Oklahoma game. Appreciate you guys joining us, and have fun this weekend. Enjoy the game, and as always, War Eagle.
War Eagle, Doug. Thanks,
Doug. War Eagle, guys.
All right, Coach Fred Riley, and also 1993 Auburn Tiger Brian Brinsfield joining us on the show tonight. Always appreciate those two guys being with us and their perspective on the Auburn Tigers. A reminder, if you want to follow Auburn all through the week and all through the season, WarEagleTV.com is our website. We invite you to join us there. Join our X page, join our YouTube channel, and get the very best in Auburn coverage, WarEagleTV.com. Speaking of which, a little Auburn volleyball action this week, leading from start to finish. Auburn made quick work of in-state foe Troy, 3-0, 25-12, 25-19, and 25-17 on Wednesday evening in Neville Arena. Didn't take long for the orange and blue to give the fans something to cheer about. The Tigers came out absolutely firing, hitting an insane 520 in the opening frame. Lauren Dreves delivered 5 thunderous kills on her 8 swings, but it was the Auburn defense that made the most noise throughout the evening. Sophomore middle blocker Kate Mansfield collected 3 rejections in the first set alone, including one solo effort as a team, the Tigers piled up 4 team blocks and once again on to victory over the Troy Trojans on Wednesday night. We'll be following volleyball throughout their season as well. When we come back, we'll get some recipes for the ball game coming up this weekend against Ball State from Stu Donald. We'll talk some football as well. Stay with us. You're listening to Tiger Talk Overtime right here on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back to Tiger Talk Overtime, presented by Will2, number one in quality and safe work for industry. To be a part of the show, join us on the Morgan Bradley Alpha Insurance Tiger Line. Send us a message on WarEagleTV.com, on our X page, at TV_WarEagle. Now, back to Doug Holton
All right, welcome back to the show, and it's time to talk some more Auburn football as we welcome in Stu Donald. And Stu, great to have you with us. You can find him also on the Sip and Chew with Mike and Stu show here on the radio. And Stu, great to have you with us. It was a good weekend for Auburn football and around the SEC football. I know you enjoyed that last weekend.
Yes, I did. It was a great weekend for America.
Yes. Any reasons why?
Well, first full week of college football, but of course we saw Auburn take care of business on the road against a decent team.
Yeah.
And not look inept at all. I mean, you know, an old offensive lineman like me, I'm going to sign up for 300 yards rushing every week.
Yeah.
I know it's not going to be like that in the future, but Dave Aranda made a decision. Simple as this. I think he knew they weren't going to win that game. I think he knew that in the summer. And he decided, I can lose by 14 or I can lose by 40. Those were the options.
Yeah. Well, I think he knew that his only chance to win the game was to let Jackson or whoever do that and shut down the receiving core.
Right.
So, and you know, we've talked a little bit about, we could have run some quick stuff underneath, I guess, in the passing game. We didn't do that. We didn't need to do that, I guess.
Nope.
And, but what did you think? We've talked a little bit about Jackson, his birthday this week, co-SEC Offensive Player of the Week. What did you think of his performance?
Terrific. I mean, he said it, and so did Hugh, because we all know Hugh wants to throw that tater every down. And Jackson, as a quarterback, they want to throw that tater every down too. And they both said, we wanted to throw, but man, when you're going to give us 6 yards every snap of the ball, why would you throw it? And the quick hit underneath stuff, probably the worst thing we could have done, because now you're drawing them into where you're running the ball.
Yeah.
The quick out stuff, like when we started hitting Eric Singleton, just rising up as soon as we get the snap, throwing to him at the line of scrimmage, they were playing so far off of him, he was guaranteed 5 yards before anybody made contact.
Yeah, unless you draw him in and then hit the deep ball or something. But.
Right, and the two times we threw the deep ball 3 times, 2 times beautiful, third one almost beautiful, and honestly, I think had that been a taller receiver, it would have been a completion. Mm-hmm. But Malcolm is who they gave us one-on-one with on the outside.
Right.
So you take it. And it, I mean, inches away from being another big play. But Malcolm's other catch, fantastic. The throw was right where it should be, just like Cam's. You know, people are like, well, he had to jump up to get it, right. And that's where Hugh tells him to throw it. He wants him to jump up and get it because nobody else can.
Yeah. And nobody else knows where it's coming.
Right.
Unless they read his eyes or something like that.
So but, we could have thrown on them even with them doing that, but why?
Yeah.
Why take a chance of having your quarterback throw a pick six in a game that you've got salted away?
Right.
Like we did against Oklahoma last year.
And speaking of that, and taking that chance in Jackson's first game to maybe ruin his confidence for, you know, when he has a chance to just run the ball against Baylor and then you got Ball State and South Alabama to kind of warm up games for Oklahoma. So I think that was part of the strategy.
And one of the ridiculous criticisms I heard was, oh, so he's just making one read and running. Yes, it's the RPO. There's only one receiver in an RPO.
Yeah.
The other receivers are just running fake patterns.
Yeah.
Unless they're completely uncovered.
What do you want to see against Ball State? It should be a scrimmage, but what do you want to see? Anything in particular?
Yeah, total annihilation. I mean, if Purdue is a bad team and they beat them 31-0.
Yeah. Do it early and do it a lot.
Yeah. My prediction is like 63-3. I mean, big number and probably pushing in the 40s by halftime.
Yeah. And just, on the ground, in the air, everything.
Yes. Anything we want to do will be open.
Yeah.
And that's not a knock on Ball State. They're in rebuilding a program that's been traditionally bad to begin with. And they admitted they can't stop anything in the offseason.
Yeah.
Their coach has said that. He said, you know, this is like first or second year that he's been there. And he said, we're a long way from where we need to be to compete in our league, much less the SEC.
Probably not a good thing to admit in the offseason, but.
Hey, at least you're being honest.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like with Hugh. Sometimes you're too honest. They're from Indiana, Muncie, Indiana.
Yeah. And you got a little cooking for us, right?
Yeah. I was telling you, there's a traditional sandwich in that part of the country. And I think it's the state sandwich of Indiana. And it's very simple. It's a pork tenderloin sandwich. They may tenderize it just a little bit. Simple flour with salt and pepper in it, fry it up, put it on a hamburger bun, a little mayonnaise, maybe some mustard, some lettuce. Some people probably slap a little American cheese on there. It's not super exciting, but it is one of it's comfort food.
Yeah, and it's tradition.
Right, and like you could try one here at Culver's, which is a Midwestern-based fast food place. Go in and try one, and you won't be disappointed. It may not be that you go, well, I'm never having another hamburger again, but nice change of pace. Yeah. The tenderloin is as healthy as chicken breast. It's low in fat, low in calories, very lean. That's the only part of the pig that is, but it's considered just as healthy as chicken breast.
Yeah. I love tenderloin. So might have to try that one out this weekend or one weekend. I guess I'll be.
Plus, they got fried cheese curds there.
Yeah. I'll be at the game this weekend, so I won't be able to do it. And I'll probably go by Big Mike's Steakhouse before the game and
there get you something. Go. You know they're coming to Sims.
Yeah, Sims and Bay Minette. Well, enjoy the ball games this weekend. Not a whole lot of great ball games, but enjoy watching the tube, and we'll see you again next week. War Eagle.
All right, buddy, War Eagle.
All right, we're going to try that Ball State Indiana sandwich with tenderloin in the next couple of weeks. The Ball State game coming up this weekend at Jordan-Hare Stadium. Hope you're heading up there to the ball game. If not, enjoy it right here on FM Talk 106.5 in the pregame. And don't forget to follow the Tigers all through the week with us on our website, WarEagleTV.com. Join our X page, join our YouTube channel, and we'll take you all the way through the game and all the way through the season with the Auburn Tigers. And don't forget, we're not a subscription service. We're the free Auburn television station. All you have to do is listen to a couple of our great sponsors once in a while, and you'll get the very best in Auburn sports. Again, WarEagleTV.com. Again, Auburn football coming up this weekend at 6:30, a new video board in the stadium for you. Also, a new light system, as we understand, a few more tricks there. And starting about midway, I think, through our ball game will be the Oklahoma-Michigan game, one of the more entertaining games of the weekend. And, of course, Oklahoma coming up in a few weeks for the Auburn Tigers, a very key game in the season. That's all the time we have for tonight. Thanks for joining us here on Tiger Talk Overtime. Don't forget to join us for the game Saturday, and we'll see you back here next week right here on Tiger Talk Overtime. Doug Holton, so long, everybody, and War Eagle.